Let us pray. Father, we thank you for this Christmas morning. It's a very special occasion because we remember how you loved us so much that you gave your only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Today we honor and celebrate the giving of your Son. Thank you, Jesus, for coming. Thank you, God, for visiting us through your Son, Jesus Christ. We pray, Lord, that today we will experience that visitation all over again. May we experience the presence of God. God with us like at no other time. We thank you. May the Holy Spirit bless this short message. In Jesus' name, amen. Powerful. Please be seated. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, wish three people Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas, Tori, Sister Robinson. Merry Christmas. Yeah. I think Tori should plan to sing a song for us before the service is over, isn't it? It's just fair. It's just fair. Okay. Wow. What a blessing. Amen. So you think of what you're going to sing for us. By the time I'm through, you should be up here singing. Amen. Okay. Now, this morning, I want to share with you a very simple, very short message. Amen. Actually, I don't even need to preach the message because they were just singing it. So if you heard the song, you heard the message. Just take our second offering and we go home. Amen. But the title of my message today is Emmanuel, which means God with us. Amen. Emmanuel, which means God with us. Christmas is a very important occasion, you know. And like with all other things, you know, the devil tries to diminish the importance of Christmas by stirring up all kinds of arguments. You know, I have a friend, an Armenian friend, who was telling me yesterday. He said to me that, I wished him, I sent him a message, Merry Christmas. Then he said, no, Armenian Christmas is January 6th or something like that. You know, it's a different time. You know, so it's like I told him to store the greeting until she put it in a refrigerator somewhere. And whenever it's Christmas for him, he can use it. Amen. Now, you see that so many people, you know, come up with so many arguments. They say Jesus Christ was not born today. You know, not today, and that today is rather some, he mentioned the name of some god called Mitra or something like that. And he said that's the birthday of Mitra and something, something, something. But I just said to him that your mother doesn't have to be born on Mother's Day to celebrate and honor her. Are you understanding what I'm saying? When you say today is Mother's Day, you don't mean that your mother was born on that day. She could well have been born on that day, but she doesn't have to be born on that day to be honored on that day. I think the point is not whether we're trying to be accurate on the birth of Jesus Christ or not. It's that we do have a day when we celebrate God's giving of his only begotten Son. And whether it's in January or in December or in April or whatever, it works. Did you know that they have a different Mother's Day in England from us here? Even Thanksgiving in Canada, isn't it? It's also different. So it's not about days. And there's a verse in the Bible that says, let no one judge you or argue with you with respect to days. Hallelujah. It's not a good argument and it's not a good thing to do. Just keep your mind and your focus on the purpose and the essence of the celebration, and you will always be right whenever you choose to do it. Amen. So we're doing the right thing. We're in church on Christmas Day. It's a blessed occasion. And when I was growing up, you kept all your precious things for Christmas.
Wow.
You know, yeah. So on Christmas Day, you wore something new. And sometimes you unfortunately discovered on that morning that the shirt, the sleeves are too long. You know, yeah. Because when it was purchased for you, you didn't try it out. You were just waiting for Christmas. So when Christmas came, then we removed all the rubbers and everything, and we put on the shirt, and we realized that your hand ends here, and the sleeve finishes there. The shoes, man, you wear the shoes, and you have to grip them with your toes so that they don't come off, and you just be walking, because you kept everything precious for Christmas, because it's a special occasion. Hallelujah. Right. Now let me read the scripture right here. It is found in the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 1, verse 22. Matthew chapter 1, verse 22. It says, "Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet Isaiah, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us." Amen. He says, "Now this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Amen. So Emmanuel is a good name. Amen. Emmanuel is a good name. You know, I don't know about Emma. Do you understand? I don't know. Maybe if you cut it short to Emma, it means you are reducing it to God. You missed the with us. I don't know, but God is at the end. Where?
L.
So then if you do Ima, you just have with us. Oh, please. What a shock. All right. Hallelujah. So if you're called Emmanuel, try not to allow people to abbreviate it. It's all or none. Amen. It says God with us. God is with us. Hallelujah. You see, many people do not believe that the baby born in Bethlehem was actually God coming to us. Hallelujah. The Bible said, "Unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." You know, people find it difficult to fit the word born and the word Savior in the same sentence, because if something is coming to save you, do you understand? That thing can't be born now. Do you understand? Yeah. But the thing is that the reason why there is a child or a baby in the Christmas story is because really God was coming to us. But the only way to come into this world is to be born. Really, the only legitimate way to come into this world is to be born. There is no human being and there is no person in existence who was not born. Do you understand? Yeah. If you come to this place without being born, you are an illegal immigrant. Do you understand? You are an illegal immigrant subject to deportation in the realm of the spirit. Hallelujah. The only legitimate way to enter this earth is to be born. And that is why there is a baby in the Christmas story. But that's not intended to diminish what God was trying to do. That it is God with us. Do you understand? Just that God also has to subject himself to the methods by which we enter the world. It's important to obey rules. Amen. Yeah. It is important to obey rules. That's why when rules and things are laid down, you should not just put them aside and just dismiss them. Yeah. Because God himself did not put them aside. Yeah. Are you getting what I'm saying? Then the other reason why there's a baby in the story is that to exist here, you need a body. Do you understand? That's why people are counted in bodies. Say everybody. Wow. You see what I'm saying? Because to be here, you have to have a body. It is also the reason why spirits inhabit people. You see, because for a demon to be around, you need to be in a body. Whether it is a human body, even an animal's body. You see, Jesus was casting out some devils from a man. And when the devils were leaving the man, they were now campaigning for the next body. They said, please, please, don't take us out of this place. Do you understand? Don't take us out of this place, you see. And if you have to take us out of it, then give us those bodies. Wow. You see, those animals over there. Because we need to be in town. We want to be around. We need to be in town. And we can't just be hanging around. We need to be in a body. And since you don't want us in this body, we accept. But give us those pigs. Like that one. Hallelujah. So the only way to be here is to really be in a body. And so spirits want to be in a body. The Bible actually says when an unclean spirit leaves a person, they are restless. It says they walk around looking for a resting place. And when they find none, they come back to the person out of whom they left. And they come. You see, so what it means is that when a demon is in a person, he's at rest. Do you see what I'm saying? His resting place is in a body. A demon outside a human body, or a spirit outside a human body, is not at rest. Hallelujah. And they are restless. That is also the reason why God still uses people. Do you understand? Because God with us, but he has to find expression through a body. Do you understand? Through a person. Some people find it difficult to believe that God is with someone like a pastor. Do you understand? They find it difficult. Such a bad person. How could God use them? But the truth is that God needs a body. God needs to express himself through a body. Amen. So somebody will be used. And he may have a terrible past, but if that's all that God can find, if that's who is open to him, God is going to take and God will use that person. Hallelujah. Amen. Then the third reason why there's a baby in the Christmas story is because God is showing us that that's how he starts things. That's how God works. Isn't it? You remember how Jesus told us the kingdom of God is like the grain of mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field. And he said, which indeed is the least of all seeds, but when it is grown, it becomes a tree. Isn't it? That when God is doing something, he starts small. That the way things begin is to start small. The way things that are intended to grow and to become a blessing to you, those things often start very small. Do you understand what I'm saying? When God blesses you with a great church, it would start very small. Amen. When God blesses you with a good man, he would start in very unimpressive. God blesses you with a good woman, she would start, you know, she may not even be able to cook. She cannot even make food. Do you understand? Yeah. You see what I'm saying? Wow. But that's how God works. God gives little things to people And out of that, he raises greatness and great blessing. Hallelujah. So do not be deceived by the baby in the story. Do not be deceived by the child in the Christmas story. God has a reason why he made a child come into the story. God has a reason why a baby has to be born. But the essence of it all is that God is with us. The purpose of the Christmas story is that God is with us. It means, it says, unto you is born. No, not that one. He says, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Hallelujah. So right there lies the danger in not receiving Jesus Christ. Because if Jesus Christ is the gift, if the Savior is the gift, and the gift means God with us, then if you are without that Savior, then God is not with you. Are you following what I'm saying? And receiving the Savior means admitting God into your life. God with you. And when God is with you, it makes a huge difference. Hallelujah. When God is with you, it makes a huge, huge difference. Now let me show you three people whose lives were affected when God showed up with them. Hallelujah. Amen. The first person is the man called David. Man called David in 2 Samuel chapter 5 and verse 10. 2 Samuel chapter 5 and verse 10. Hallelujah. It says, and David went on and grew great, and the Lord God of hosts was with him. Wow. Hallelujah. Amen. Do you see why Christmas is such a gift? Wow. God with us makes a huge difference. Hallelujah. God with us makes a huge difference. And this Christmas, I want that expression to keep ringing in your head. That God is with me. If I have received that gift, he says, unto you is born a Savior. A Savior is a rescuer, I tell you. He says, you have been given a Savior, somebody who is going to save you. Your sins are the first thing he saves you from. But after you've been saved from your sins, if your sins are just forgiven and that's all the Savior does, then after your sins are forgiven, you don't need him anymore. Do you understand? But he's a rescuer. He's a savior of your life itself. He's a savior, because some of us are already destroyed, even by virtue of where we are coming from, by virtue of who gave birth to you, by virtue of how you were raised, by virtue of the experiences we have had, the things you have gone through by a certain time in your life. You're already, you know, scheduled for destruction. No good is really or can be expected to come out of your life. But then enters the Savior. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Then comes the Savior. The story is that way until the Savior enters. Because when the Savior enters, Emmanuel has come. And when Emmanuel enters the scene, God with us has entered the scene. And that begins to change the course of the play entirely. Are you getting what I'm saying? See how sometimes you're watching a movie and things are going really bad. Then enters the hero. Then James Bond just shows up. And when James Bond shows up, you know that from this point on, this is the lowest point in the movie. Because from this point on, he's going to rise. I mean, he's going to, James Bond can swim with his suit under the water. And come out of, from the bottom of the water, he'll just come out and go to a meeting. And he's dry. When God is with you, it is wilder than James Bond. Are you understanding what I'm saying? He is wilder than James Bond. He says, David grew great. And the secret is that God was with him. Are you understanding what I'm saying? God with you means greatness in your future. It means you're going to grow great. It means God with you means that you're going to be a great person. You must believe it, that God is with you means there is greatness in your future. Hallelujah. It may not happen overnight. Notice the word grew. The word grew implies process. It implies time. It just means that it takes some time. It means that it takes some developing. It means it takes some building up. But it does happen. It says, David grew great, and you're going to grow great because God is with you. Can I have an amen? Amen. Look at the second person, Solomon. 2 Chronicles chapter 1 and verse 1. 2 Chronicles chapter 1 and verse 1. It says, and Solomon, the son of David, was strengthened in his kingdom. And the Lord, his God, was with him and magnified him exceedingly. Hallelujah. The Lord, his God, was with him and magnified him exceedingly. To magnify someone means to make him big. Hallelujah. You are becoming a big person by the grace of God because God is with you. Whatever happened to Solomon is going to happen to you also because God is with you. Can I have an amen? It says he was strengthened. He was strengthened. He was strengthened in his kingdom. I see God strengthening you. God is strengthening you because God is with you. This Christmas, as we celebrate the birth of Emmanuel, the arrival of Emmanuel in your life is the beginning of a change in your destiny, because Emmanuel comes and destiny change because God with you makes a big difference. Can I have an amen? Amen. And you see, when God is with someone, they seem to get away with so many things. Hallelujah. They seem to get away with so many things. They never need anything. Hallelujah. All these people that we are talking about are people who never needed anything because God was with them. God is with you. You will not want. Hallelujah. God is with you. You will not want. The Bible says, the Lord is my shepherd. The first implication is, I shall not want. Are you understanding what I'm saying? The Lord is my shepherd. The first implication is that you will not want. God is with you. It makes a big difference to your life. Can I have an amen? Amen. Then the third person I'd like you to look at briefly this morning is a man called Joseph. This man called Joseph was a man who went through so many things that he never in his wildest dreams imagined would be the story of his life. He never expected to have any of those experiences. And I can imagine that by a certain time, Joseph's heart was really broken. I mean, imagine how it would feel to be sold by your brothers. Do you understand? Someone is selling you. I mean, you talk about human trafficking. And the person who is behind the trafficking of your person and the selling of your person is your own brother or your own sister. Imagine your brothers have just gotten together, organized something, and they put you up for sale on Craigslist. Huh? So imagine that your brothers, they've just list you on Craigslist for sale. You get it? To buy headphones. So that you can have a Beats headphone. But that's what happened to Joseph. He couldn't believe it. He went to his brothers to give them food. He went to his brothers to give them stuff from their father, to give them provision from their father. And when they got there, when he got there, the brothers, you know, they listed him for sale. Yeah, that this guy is for sale. We don't like this guy. his heart must have been very broken. And then after that, when he goes into Egypt, it looks like things are, you know, getting better, because they sell him, and the one who buys him is like a rich man. Do you understand? So he starts to think that maybe things are getting better. Do you understand? But it is not until you read till the end of the story and you see all the things that happened to him. I mean, his life is like that, up then down. When you meet Joseph first, he's his father's favorite. That's up. Then when you meet him next, his brothers are selling him or putting him in a pit. That's down, isn't it? Then you see him next, he's coming out of the pit and he's smiling, he thinks it's over. Then when he comes out of the pit, that's up. Then they sell him to some people, that's down. Do you understand? Then he's purchased by a rich man, that's up. But then the rich man's wife accuses him and he goes to prison, that's down. Do you understand? So you see, his life is up and down and up and down and up and down. And that's the story of many of us. Just when you start to smile, then something seems to happen that takes away the smile. And then you go down the valley for a while, then something seems to bring you out of it. Then before you know it, you are back into the pit. And you're going up and down and up and down. It's not until we read the end of the story, you know, which is summarized in the book of Acts chapter 7. Because somebody was preaching and referred to it. And you have a good summary of what happened to Joseph in verse 9 of Acts chapter 7. It says in Acts chapter 7, the patriarchs, moved with envy, sold Joseph into Egypt, but God was with him. Hallelujah. It says the patriarchs, moved with envy, sold Joseph into Egypt, but Emmanuel, 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 Emmanuel. When Emmanuel is introduced into the story, you can expect that the rest of it is different. You can even close the book. Just close them. Once the story is being told, the story of someone's life is being told, and you hear about one misfortune after the other, one unfortunate situation after the other, and the story is being told, you keep listening. Just keep listening until Emmanuel is introduced into the story. And at that point, forget about the rest. Because your imagination, whatever you imagine, you're right. Are you understanding what I'm saying? He says, God was with him, verse 10, and delivered him out of all his afflictions, and gave him favor and wisdom in the sight of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and made him governor over Egypt and all his house. What a difference. What a difference. What a difference. What was supposed to take him down became the elevator that took him up. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Yeah. What was taking him down became the same thing that took him up. You know, every elevator that goes down can actually come up too. He says it's going down because it's been set to go in that direction. But the things that bring people down, when they are, you reset them, they also become the same vehicle for taking people up. Are you understanding what I'm saying? I don't know what has brought your life down. And I don't know what makes you feel that you are down. Or what makes you feel that like life has been unfair to you. Or that you didn't get certain things that others seem to have. Listen, I want you to know that the story of what you're thinking and how you're feeling is true until Emmanuel is introduced into your life. Because when Emmanuel is introduced into your life, it makes a big, big difference. Hallelujah. The Bible says, if God be for us, if God is on your side, it says, who can be against you? Who can be against you if God is on your side? So it looks like the main thing people have to do is to admit Emmanuel. Do you understand? That's why he says, for unto us a child is born. A child has been born. Then unto us a son is given. It's been given to you. It's been given to you. But when it's given, it needs to be complemented with receiving for it to work. Anything that is given has to be received for that thing to begin to bless the receiver. Hallelujah. Amen. So the worst kind of life to live is to live without Emmanuel. Where are you going without Emmanuel? When Emmanuel with you, you can expect that even when people have sold you into slavery out of envy, that will actually become your blessing. I mean, Joseph's greatest blessing was that he was sold into Egypt. Wow. I mean, if Joseph looked maybe later at the outcome, I'm sure he would pay his brothers to sell him.
Wow.
Do you see what I'm saying? Or if God was to give him a glimpse of how this whole story was going to end, Joseph would have given his brothers a tip. Do you understand? Maybe that's why he gave their money back to them. Because the brothers were trying to buy some grain from him. And Joseph said, listen, I rather need to pay you. You get it? I'm the one that owes you money for causing me to come into this goodness. Here is a little money for you for selling me into slavery. Because God with me made such a big difference. Made such a big difference. Made such a big difference. I don't know what situation you're in this morning, but I feel like encouraging you that God with you will make that difference. God is with you. It will make a difference to the outcome of the story. Are you understanding what I'm saying? It will make a huge difference to the outcome of the story. David said in Psalm 23 and verse 4, he says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Do you understand? I will fear no evil, not because I'm bold. I will fear no evil, not because I'm not superstitious. I will fear no evil, not because I'm educated. I will fear no evil, not because of who my father is, not because of who my mother is, not because of what education I have, not because I have a green card. Some people feel, I will fear no evil because I have a green card. Do you understand? But that's how you think when you are on the other side of the green card. That's on the pre-green card side. Do you see? But post-green card thinking is greatly modified by the realities of life. Do you understand? Yeah, post-citizenship thinking is greatly affected by the realities. When you don't have something, you always exaggerate what it will bring to your life. You always overestimate what its contribution to your life will be. You always feel that it will bring you much more than it really is capable of bringing to you. It's because you don't have it. So when you don't have it, you don't know what is in it. And so you think it has everything until you get it. Are you understanding what I'm saying? So he said, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. And the reason is that thou art with me. Do you understand? God with me, it makes a difference. He said, when I see your rod and your staff by me, I feel comforted. The situation has not even changed. I'm still in the valley. I'm still in the shadow of death. But I am not afraid and I feel comforted because I see your rod, which is the symbol of your presence. I see your staff. I know you are around. I know that God is with me. And that is so comforting for me. That is so comforting for me. Oh, yeah. Sometimes when you're in a situation and you see the solution around, you start to feel comfort. Do you see what I'm saying? You start to feel comfort. When you're at an airport and the plane is not coming and your flight is delayed and they tell you, have you seen what they do? They keep moving the flight. They tell you it's going to leave at 2:30. Then soon they post a new time. It's now going to leave at 3:30. Then they make another announcement. It's going to leave at 4:30. And you start to wonder, what's going on? Are we going to make it? And they explain that there's some weather situation in Texas and some storm in Oklahoma. And all these kinds of things are affecting the flight. And you start to get worried. Are we going to sleep here? Are we going to sleep here? Are we going to sleep here? Until you see the plane has arrived. When the plane comes to the gate, you are not on it yet, but you start to feel comforted. Are you getting what I'm saying? Even sometimes they announce. Sometimes they, when the person, the customer service people at the gate, when they see how restless the people are getting, as soon as the plane touches the ground while it's still on the runway, they announce it. They tell you that your plane has just landed. Then you know, from that point on, your comfort starts. You are not on the plane. Your situation has not changed. But you know, just the presence, it tells you something, that something is about to change. That's why David said, you know, I'm in the valley. I'm in the shadow of death. A shadow of death means death is not too far. Because anytime you see the shadow of something, you must know that that thing is pretty close. Yeah. Your shadow cannot be here while you are over there on the other side. No. When your shadow appears, it means you yourself are following soon. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So he said, when I'm in the valley or the shadow of death, when I should be terrified, when I should be scared, he said, I fear no evil because I see your rod and I see your staff. They only tell me one thing, that you are with me. And that's okay. Are you understanding what I'm saying? So I don't know what your life is going to go through as we go through a coming year, or what you're presently in, or what you have been through in the year just going by. But I just want you to know something, that God is with you. I said that God is with you. God is with you. Begin to feel comforted because God is with you. Whatever is happening in your life will not determine the outcome of your life. That's not the final determinant of the outcome of your life. Whatever is working, whatever is not working, whatever you've been good at, whatever you have failed at, it's not the final determinant of what happens to your life. No way. God with you is the ultimate determinant of how things will turn out. And I want you to believe in God with you. Believe in Emmanuel. Say to yourself, Emmanuel. Every day, say to yourself, Emmanuel, God with us. Because that's what you got when you got the Savior. That's what you got when you received the Savior. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Then read this final verse with me before we close. It says, Isaiah chapter 43 and verse 2. Isaiah chapter 43 and verse 2. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. Huh. You see, I told you the story is bad until Emmanuel is introduced. He says, I will be with thee and through the rivers. Then suddenly the story, expect the story to change. He says, they shall not overflow thee. And when thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. Who walks through fire and is not burned? We are burned even when we haven't walked through fire. Isn't it? We're burned even when we haven't walked through fire. Just coming close to fire burns us. Do you understand? Sometimes the heat, you know, cooking, touching things on fire. You are not on the fire. You just touch something that's on the fire and you are feeling the pain and it starts to burn you. But that's the story until Emmanuel is introduced. Until Emmanuel comes on the scene. And the Bible says when Emmanuel comes into the picture, suddenly what must burn you is not burning you. It says the fire will not kindle on you. Do you understand that? When you light a fire, then it must kindle. That means when you light it, you know, you set the fire and then the fire must respond. Do you understand? Yeah, it must respond. But he says that because Emmanuel is with you, they'll light a fire on you, but your body and your system will just not respond to the fire. It will not kindle upon you. It will not kindle upon you. It will not kindle upon you. It's going to die on you. Yeah. You try to light a fire to maybe a wet napkin or something like that. Try. When you go home this afternoon, just get one of those paper napkins and then wet it, soak it. And then try to set it on fire. And you see, the fire has come. You applied it to it. But it will not kindle. Then try it with the other one that has no water in it. The water is Emmanuel. 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 When you put water in that napkin, Emmanuel has entered it. Emmanuel makes it damp. Emmanuel makes it wet. Emmanuel makes you unbearable. Emmanuel makes it impossible for your life to catch fire. He says you are in the fire, but because of Emmanuel, it will not happen to you. I said it will not happen to you. Do you believe these things? I mean, I'm loving this. As the Lord was showing me this, I was just getting blessed and encouraged. Hallelujah. Emmanuel is who you need. God with us. That's why God said, I've given you a savior. I've given you a rescuer. I've given you something that's going to help you. Somebody who's going to help you. He will deliver you. What must destroy you will not destroy you, because you have a savior, and his name is Emmanuel. Emmanuel, God with us. So when thou goest through the fire, he says, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. Hey, it's too powerful. Hallelujah. Then my very final verse is an encouragement. Hallelujah. That verse is in Deuteronomy chapter 32 and verse 12. So the Lord alone did lead him, and there was no strange God with him. Hallelujah. I just want to encourage you to make this God your God. Hallelujah. Make this Emmanuel your God. And don't have strange gods with you. Do not have any strange gods. Don't make a God out of anything that God has given you. Don't make a God out of your education. Don't make a God out of your marriage. Don't make a God out of your children. When something is your God, it controls you all the time. Yeah, when something is your God, you live for it, you die for it. Do you understand? It's your greatest passion, and it is what you live and exist for when it is your God. And all sorts of people have all sorts of strange gods. Strange gods. How can your beloved be a God? How can your beloved be a God? How can your job be a God? Hallelujah. Are you understanding what I'm saying? How can your job be your God? It cannot be your God. It cannot be your God. Your favorite pastime, your favorite hobby cannot be your God. Cannot be your God. No relative of yours can be your God. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Do not adopt strange gods, but rather let Emmanuel be the only God. Hallelujah. And look at verse 13. He says that when there was no strange God with him, Emmanuel was his God, and he made him ride on the high places of the earth. I predict that you will ride on the high places of the earth in the name of Jesus. The high places, the best places. That's where your life will be found in the name of Jesus. He says that he might eat the increase of the fields, and he made him to suck honey out of the rock. Hey, only Emmanuel can make you suck honey out of a rock. Wow. Emmanuel, God with us, and out an oil out of the flinty rock. Hallelujah. Butter of kine and milk of sheep, with fat of rams and rams of the breed of Bashan, and goats. Yes, you heard me, Zoe. Goats and the fat of kidneys of wheat. And thou didst drink the pure blood of the grape. the pure blood of the grape. Can you picture it? Not this dilute one that they sell at Costco and other places. You see, even when they finish, then they tell the truth. They write something on the side. 5% grape. Look at you. You sell me a whole bottle of grape juice, you know, not knowing it's just 5%. Do you understand? There's more of something else than grape. I wonder why it's not going by that name. Do you understand what I'm saying? When something is 5% grape and 95% something else, which one must qualify to name it? The 95%. But they don't call it by the 95%. They name it by the 5%. And it's not the pure blood. Well, the Lord says when he's with you, you're going to taste the pure blood. 100% grape juice. That's what you're going to get. Because Emmanuel is with you. Emmanuel is with you. You will have the pure blood of the grape. Hallelujah. Forget about other gods. Forget about strange gods. Be careful of strange gods. First commandment is, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Hallelujah. Augustine, let this Emmanuel be your God. Take him seriously. He is the determinant of the outcome of your life. I tell you, it's not anything else. There is nothing else that will have the final say in your life save Emmanuel. And when Emmanuel is with you, you better put a check against your life, because you made it already. No matter how the story is going, in the end you won. Hallelujah. One of the things I like to do sometimes is to watch the end of a movie before I start it. Yes. Especially if it's a stressful kind of movie. I want to see, look, how did it end? Do you get it? So I just fast forward to the end. Wendy, you also like that? Awesome. Yeah. Makes two of us. We fast forward to the end and you see what's going on there. Oh, then you relax and just come. You come and you start watching the thing. You see they are tossing the guy. Your heart is going. Hey, 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 hey. But when you've watched the end, you know there's not. You relax and just drink your tea. Take a bite in the chicken. You see they are turning James Bond upside down. They are about to feed him to crocodiles. You just be chewing. Be drinking your tea and relaxing. Because you know that nobody can put James Bond in a crocodile pond. He will never be eaten by a crocodile. Yeah. He will never be eaten by a crocodile. Oh, relax. Yeah. But it's those who haven't seen the end. Some people enjoy it when, you know, there's suspense and, you know, and the thing is stressful. Yeah. And they're about to die. They like near-death experiences. But there are some others who don't like these near-death experiences. Hallelujah. Emmanuel, God with us. Everybody say with me, Emmanuel, God with us. Say, God is with me. It makes a huge difference. Tell your neighbor, God with me will make a huge difference. Hallelujah.